Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's.
Hey, Philip, how we doing?
Good.
Brothers and sisters across America, I want to point out to you, first of all, this is our radio show. And what you got to say is important to us. I want to talk just very, very quickly about the fact that please don't be afraid of your police department. Know your rights. Stand up for your rights. Philip and I are not out here to aggravate our local police department. We're out there simply as two American citizens,
right,
two veterans who are driving on American streets. Why should we be afraid? And yet we go to bars and people say, oh, why'd you aggravate the police? I don't think I'm aggravating the police. I don't think you're aggravating them.
No.
We're just exercising our rights. So I don't know. Second thing, very quickly, I've gotten so many people keep contacting me. When am I going to be in Arizona? I'll be in Arizona on the 20th of this month. I'll be at Yuma. And if you can't find me, because I don't know which bar I'll be at, the 21st, Saturday morning, the Victor McLaughlin drill team will be performing. I'll be right up front by the drill team. So if anybody looks for me in Arizona,
here we go. You started already.
Wow. Here I am saying nice things about those people, too.
Exactly. Okay. You spoke too soon.
I know.
Let's hang on 1 second. I'm going to do something here. I'm going to play this song in the middle of that while we're waiting.
You do that, and I'll kick the machine. Maybe that'll help, brother. Kid Rock for you guys, trying to remember who was that. Kid Rock.
Thank you.
a man that's not a proud. He's not ashamed to say he's American, you know?
No.
Kid Rock kind of stands up, tells
the
whole
story. Yeah, just for a little bit of what's coming for the summer, Bill. So, Nora.
Yes.
Got a question for you.
Sure.
Okay. So, did you get that email I sent you about the New Jersey judge ruling sets allows the suit against the state police to go forward?
Well, I'm getting on it now because I can't get into the chat. They're not letting me in.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're screwing with us here on this side, too, but...
Okay. Let me get my email open. Do you want me to shed light on that?
Well, first of all, let me say, New Jersey, okay, a Norristown lawyer represents three members of two motorcycle clubs stopped in New Jersey by troopers who demanded they remove jackets bearing biker club colors and logos, says a federal judge. Recent decision in the case is a First Amendment victory. Ernie Boyd Spencer says U.S. District Judge Jerome Simendel. You know the guy personally. Oh, okay. Ruling allows the suit against the state police to go forward for allegedly harassing seven bikers who were riding in Burlington County in July 2009. Spencer says troopers followed the bikers, some who were members of the Pagans Motorcycle Club and the Tribe Motorcycle Club, 6 miles before stopping them. How far do you got to go to find something wrong with them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, usually it's like 3 or 4 blocks.
That's probably stop us for
they're on us,
yeah.
You must have been calling in the troops.
That's exactly what I think. They're just calling.
He's calling in the troops.
They checked all their license registration and then came out and gave a speech that went something like this. Take your jackets off. The jackets had the logos or colors. Because the only colors allowed on the highway are the blue and gold of the New Jersey State Troopers. Oh, this guy's got huevos. Spencer says the video and audio from the stop was captured on the Trooper State recording system and supports the bikers' claim that their bikes were violated. State officials asked the judge to dismiss the suit. Spencer says it's unlikely they will appeal. Is it likely or unlikely? What's that?
Likely.
Okay, sorry. The line to it. Okay, thank you. Spencer says it's likely they will appeal the judge's decision.
Well, they can appeal all they want, but if the guy ruled in their favor and the tape proves it, fuck them.
And I tell you what, if there's two clubs running down the road and one cop asks you to take your colors off, I don't see it happening in my area.
No.
I'm just pointing this out, gentlemen. But there may have been... Anyway, we're glad successful. I'm glad they got that solved.
Yeah. And just go
along. I'm up to the Pagans. Several down in Florida.
They're all up and down the East Coast.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of friends of mine. But we've bumped a lot of them at the Daytona runs and places I've been. But I haven't caught them elsewhere. Just threw that out there, you know.
Well, because, like, right now, you know, the other one was that they advanced it. So the three, there's actually 7 guys, but 3 of them claim the state police violated the rights. That's how the lawsuit got started. So basically, they were looking for the court to rule in the obvious, which they did. If you have the right to wear it, it's under the First Amendment.
Yeah, you know Indian of San Diego.
Correct.
And I've been with him when they've disbanded, he takes his colors off, and he says it does no good because underneath his colors, he has the soft colors.
Right.
Underneath the soft colors, he's got his full patch tattooed on his back, so it doesn't do any good for him to take his colors off at all.
And
as many other clubs do that.
Right. You don't have to.
No. Well, he wouldn't do it anyway. I mean,
no.
But, you know.
So, what do you think about that, Nora?
Well, here we go, as we were talking about on Tuesday. You know, it poses a big problem. Poses a big problem in the biker community.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, are they going to let up? No.
That's how you deal with it. Nor they asked my brother Michael to take his jacket off, and he said, why would I do that? He said, we know you club people wear your colors underneath your jacket. My brother said, well, I think that kind of defeats the whole purpose. They said, well, we wanted to see. My brother said, no, I'm not going to see. So he wouldn't take his jacket off and let him go.
Right. Well, you know, the sad thing is it doesn't matter if it's covered or not, because even if they wear a club shirt, it's their way of profiling and having to do something to pull them over.
It goes back to, again, we are American citizens driving on an American highway. I pay taxes for my license. I pay registration fees. I pay all this stuff to support, maintain our highway. It's my highway. So
right.
I look at that. I shouldn't fear anybody.
Nope.
No, but unfortunately, profiling takes place every day. It doesn't matter if
you're every 30, 45 seconds, I look in my left-hand mirror, my right-hand mirror, because I want to see how far back they are tracking me. More often than not, they run my license plate. They just say, I'll let it go.
Right.
But you never know who you're going to catch. They just wants to pull you over.
Well, that's like the other day. I had that Suburban pull up behind me.
Yeah.
And I seen in the mirror, I seen DHS, Department of Homeland Security, follow me all the way up to Oceanside, San Diego. When I moved over to get off, they followed me. Then they stopped. They went straight. Mission there? They went straight.
Yeah, they stopped me last week. They wanted to know if I knew where Philip Hennigan lived. I said, oh, yeah, down the street and around the corner. He's right over there. They said, thank you very much. They got in the truck and left. So.
Yeah.
Well, it's ridiculous, you know.
It is ridiculous, but it's something that I resent when my friends say, I'm not going to ride anymore. When my friends say, I give up. When my friends say, I don't want to deal with it. I resent that because, as an American, we're here to stand up for our rights. You don't have to be violent.
Yeah, but unfortunately, when you stand up for your rights, it's not going to make it any better. You know, it took the whole entire United States to stand up, it's still not going to change. They're still going to be the way that they are.
No, but I have to die someday, and I have to die knowing I've done the right things. And I can't, at my point in my life, ever say, well, let me make some concessions, because that's not just going to happen.
Right.
Not violent. I'm not out to break laws and all that. I'm simply saying that I have to do what I feel is right. And if it takes a little extra time in court or something, that's the way it's got to be.
Right.
Not everybody agrees with me, but, you know, that's their prerogative too, though.
Hmm.
We have a nice run coming up in 2 weeks at Kennedy's Custom Cycles. Hopefully I can get maybe you to take up pictures and send it back to Nora.
Mm-hmm.
We have a bike blessing and a big charity run for this little girl dying of liver cancer. She's only 6 months old, so we're going
to
try to help them out and all that. So, can you send the pictures back to her somehow?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. I'll ask him. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't, Nora.
Right.
Depends on
the
moment.
Well, I mean, he has a camera phone. He can send them to my phone, too.
You know how he is, though.
I know.
Depends how he woke up that day.
He doesn't
like
to participate.
Oh, there you go. All that love.
Oh, we love you, too. You know what? We just read you. So, I'm sorry. I can see the chat, but I can't talk in it. And if I try and log in, then it doesn't let me in, so I'm going to be quiet tonight in the chat, obviously. I can type, but nothing goes.
Oh, yeah? So you're there
mm-hmm.
and you're not there?
Yeah, I'm there. I just can't type, so.
I'll see you, unless you're a guest.
Can you see me?
Oh. Right? Well,
no?
That, right? Nope.
Hmm.
No name up there at all?
Nope.
Wow.
Incognito tonight or something?
Well, does it show guests?
Yeah, we have guests up there, but I don't see you.
Yeah, we don't see you.
Okay.
So, I was gonna, I read this the other day, Bill, and I got a couple of requests for it.
Yes.
So I want everybody to just sit back and enjoy this. Because I want, you know, I'm going to read it, but one of the catches is when I sent it out is try reading this without laughing till you cry. But this is called the Pocket Taser Stun Gun, and it was a great gift for this guy's wife, Bill.
Yes?
A guy who purchased his lovely wife a taser for their anniversary submitted this. Last weekend, he saw something in Larry's pistol and pawn shop that sparked my interest. The occasion was our 15th anniversary, and I was looking for a little something extra for my wife, Julie. What I came across was a 100,000-watt pocket-purse-sized taser. The effects of the taser were supposed to be short-lived with no long-term adverse effects on your assailant, allowing his wife adequate time to retreat to safety. Way too cool. Long story short, he bought it and brought it home. He loaded in two AAA batteries in the damn thing and just pushed the button. Nothing. He was disappointed. He learned, however, that if he pushed the button and pressed it against the metal surface at the same time, he'd get the blue arc of electricity darting back and forth between the prongs.
I've seen that. Yeah, I know that. Okay.
Awesome. Unfortunately, I have yet to explain to Julie why the burn spot is on the face of the microwave. Okay, so I was home alone with this new toy, thinking to myself it couldn't be all that bad with only two AAA batteries, right? I sat in my recliner, my cat Gracie looking out intently, trusting little soul, while I was reading the directions and thinking that I really needed to try this thing out on a flesh and blood moving target. I must admit I thought about zapping Gracie for a fraction of a second, and then I thought better of it. She's such a sweet cat.
But she's still a cat. It's not like a dog.
I know.
It's different.
But if I was going to give... Watch me.
That was talking already.
Yeah, if I was going to give this thing to my wife to protect herself against the mugger, I did want some assurance that it would work as advertised. Am I wrong? So there I sat, a pair of shorts and a tank top, and my reading glasses perched delicately on the bridge of my nose. Directions in one hand, taser in the other. The direction said that a one-second burst would shock and disorient your assailant. A two-second burst was supposed to cause muscle spasms and major loss of bodily control. A second burst would purportedly make your assailant flop on the ground like a fish out of water. Any burst longer than 3 seconds would be wasting the batteries. All the while, I'm looking at this little device measuring about 5 inches long and 3/4 inch in circumference, loaded with two itsy-bitsy AAA batteries, pretty cute really, and thinking to myself, no possible way. What happens next is almost beyond description, but I'll do my best. Sitting there alone, Gracie looking out with her head cocked as to one side, you say, don't do it, stupid. Reasoning that 1 second burst from such a little tiny old thing couldn't hurt it all that bad. I decided to give myself a 1 second burst just for the heck of it. I touched the prong to my naked thigh, pushed the buttons, and holy mother of God, weapons of mass destruction, what the fuck? I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan ran in the side door, picked me up in a recliner, then body slammed us both on the carpet, over and over again. I vaguely recall waking up on my side in a fetal position with my tears in my eyes, blood-soaked, body-soaking wet, both nipples on fire, testicles nowhere to be found, with my left arm tucked under my body in the oddest position, and tingling in my legs. The cat was making meowing sounds I had never heard before, clinging to a picture frame above the fireplace. Obviously, an attempt to avoid getting slammed by my body flopping around all over the living room floor. Note, if you ever feel compelled to mug yourself with a taser, one note of caution. There is no such thing as a 1 second burst when you zap yourself. You will not let go of that thing until it is dislodged from your hand by a violent thrashing about the floor. 3 second burst would be considered conservative. A minute or so later, I can't be sure as time was a relative thing at that point. I collected my wits, what little I had left, sat up and surveyed the landscape. My bent reading glasses were on a mantel of the fireplace. The recliner was upside down at about 8 feet or so from where it was originally. My triceps, right thigh, and both nippers were still twitching. My face felt like I had been shot up with Novocaine, and my bottom lip weighed 88 pounds. I had no control over drooling. Apparently, I crapped in my shorts, but was too numb to know for sure, and my sense of smell was gone. I saw a faint smoke cloud above my head, which I believe came from my hair. I'm still looking for my testicles and offering a significant reward for this safe return. P.S. My wife can't stop laughing about my experience, loved the gift, and now regularly threatens me with it. If you think education is difficult, try being stupid.
Oh. But when my wife says, don't ever work on anything while she's gone, she wants to make sure she's there. I thought she would just want to be concerned. Maybe she doesn't trust me. We guys are pretty stupid.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're in there now, Nora.
What?
Yeah,
I know.
See you now.
Finally. Did you see? I can't believe it took this long. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Couldn't you tell by what I said? Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. We're reading it now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I was being nice.
Well. Because you're a lady. And Philip and I...
Not always. I can be a tomboy, and when that side comes out, oh boy.
So in the presence of a lady, Philip and I should try to act more like gentlemen and be more, you know...
Well, no, we're here because, remember, you mark Thursday as commando, so we're all the same.
It's mostly my fault. I just... station slide out. I don't know what's wrong with me.
That's okay. You just like commando. Who doesn't?
We're talking about something funny. I'd like to share with everybody what happened in my shop yesterday.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Everybody has
that
those plastic...
real quick.
Everybody has those plastic lawn chairs, right?
Right.
Put them outside, little plastic chairs for lawn, right, guys?
Okay.
I sat on one. I was talking to Philip about something that's happening tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I can take care of some business. Why? Now, I'm not rocking on this chair. I'm sitting perfectly still in this chair. The back leg snapped off. I went
wow.
on the ground. My hand went underneath the chair. The weight of the chair and my ass squished my little finger on the right-hand side. When I finally got my weight and the chair off, I couldn't feel my right finger anymore. My right hip was damaged. And if that didn't beat the shit, I smacked my head against the wall.
Are you okay?
Well, hard to judge. What do you judge it compared to, you know?
No, I mean, are you okay now?
Well, this happened about, 3 or 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
It happened, the pain went away from my head about 6:20 that night.
Bless
but I'm thinking, I'm in a chair. I'm not rocking back and forth. I'm not like on the two rear legs like all guys do to be cool. I'm sitting
right.
on the...
Like a gentleman. Right.
Yes, polite, blah, blah, blah. And people ask me, don't you worry about when you go for a ride. What if something happens to you? I was almost killed in my own shop. And Philip is doing everything he could not to laugh. He's being a nice guy. He's trying to help me up and all that. Yeah, whack my head a good one. Life's too short, boys and girls. If there's something you haven't done, don't put it off. Do it today.
I understand.
Better pitch me on my back and sprawled out because it was hilarious. But Philip, I got to give Philip credit. He didn't laugh or anything. He just kept extending me his hand saying, come on, I'll help you up. So dizzy.
Well,
for
no,
I mean,
I've had that happen to me, you know. Well, not me personally. It didn't happen to me, but, you know, friends of mine. And, you know, you feel bad because, you know, unfortunately with the chairs when they sit out, it's just the weather that gets to them. And you don't realize it, you know, until when you go to sit down. I'm like, wow, I just sat in that chair and it never broke on me, you know. Sorry.
Well, I'm not a spring chicken, Nora. I'm not 220 pounds. I'm not exactly up for any, I ain't losing no weight. I ain't losing
no.
weight anywhere. The only thing I'm losing is my hair.
Well, I only weigh 10 pounds more than I did when I got out of the
You're 220 pounds. You don't look like it.
We got a
no. Here, let me take my shirt off. Look now.
No,
you see that?
I can't see. I'm not on Skype. If I Skype, I could.
Anyway, we got a caller from 441. Are you there?
441, you're live. Talk to us, please.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, 441. You want to say hello to us, who you are, where you're from, please?
Can you hear me?
Yes, you can.
Yeah. Is that you,
Carrie? Carrie from Scotland.
Hey,
hi, Carrie.
we're gonna have like a little delay, but that's okay. We can hear you and you can hear us. That's
oh,
Nora.
That's
Nora just said hello, and Bill and I say hello to
Not
you
a
and
bank.
Wish you a happy Easter.
Happy Easter to everyone.
Yeah, happy Easter. I wished a happy Easter earlier today, remember, Grandma?
Listen, Nora, it'll be you in November as well.
I know. I can't wait. I'm excited. But what
cycle
run
is going on in
Grandma's.
Scotland in the next couple of weeks? Anything special?
Sorry?
Any motorcycle runs going on in Scotland in the next couple of weeks or anything?
No, Scotland's not that exciting, unfortunately.
Well,
she's got to come out to the coast.
Yeah.
We got
to
take her out.
Yeah,
come
to the States.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to go.
Thing, I
I'm
really
going to go actually go and stay with Nora for a couple
yes,
of
Yes, you can. I have plenty of room.
You know, the one thing I really wanted to do in Scotland is to go to see the Black Watch. I think that would be just awesome. You ever get a chance to see the Black Watch perform?
What, the military?
The military, yes. The, you know,
the
castle.
That's on in August. That's
when they all
August.
Come together from around the world, all the bags and kilts and pipes. And,
tattoo, that goes on in August, which is really good. You would enjoy that.
I'd like to see that one time.
Oh, it's really good.
However, I have to tell you, and I don't want to start trouble, but my family's from Galway Bay, Ireland, and I'm a second-generation American, and they told me the pipes are much sweeter than the Scottish bagpipes. Now, I don't have the ear to tell the difference. Can you tell the difference between the Irish bagpipes and the Scottish bagpipes?
No, because I'm not interested in either.
I didn't know it was a question. How often do I get to ask that question, you know?
That's true.
No.
So how are you?
We're not all bagpipes and kilts over here.
No, okay.
But
so how are you? What's going on?
I would show you the nightlife. And maybe the museums and kilts and bagpipes.
Oh, what do they wear under the kilts?
Nothing.
Serious?
They don't,
is
you
going
you
to
don't
breathe?
Wear anything? Nora, you don't wear anything, or else you're not a true
Scotsman. I had no idea.
Or Scotsman.
Damn, man. I've never seen them.
Neither have I.
We need to do a lineup. So, work on that. Get some men in there and kilts.
I'm going to run right out and get it.
Just to see this.
Exactly.
I see that at once, Braveheart. What do you want?
They need to prove it, Nora.
I know. We need to see this.
I heard
that
the Scotch...
hearing your voice, Nora.
What?
It's really nice hearing your voice.
Oh, same here. It's such a pleasure. I mean, we've been on each other's pages for how long?
Pardon?
I said we have been on each other's pages for so long, and now we get to see.
Oh, I thought you said each other's faces.
No, pages.
Okay.
It's okay. It happens us a lot.
Well, Bill and I are intrigued now. Who's sitting on whose face?
Uh-huh.
Well, who do you want? You got two of us now. They're quiet. They're shocked. They're scared. So, okay, now
scared.
It's the Carrie and Nora show because Bill
there's,
and Phil have left the building.
There's real women on the radio now, so they're really scared.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you scared, Bill?
Oh, I'm a little shy, but you know, a little timid. No.
How can you be shy, Bill? You always call Thursday commando, so we're all commando for you.
My sergeant arms at the bike club, he's a
really
giant. He was Scotch. He told me Scotsmen never wore anything underneath their kilts so they could sneak up on the sheep. Is that true?
Oh.
Yes, probably up north, but not down here.
Okay. I didn't know if he'd tell me the truth, but he was a big boy.
Well, just saying, men in kilts, it's easy access. Oh, sorry. Sorry. We have to do this a clean show. Because you remember that one show, Bill and Phil, when we did and we were talking like this and nobody chimed in. You didn't have to play any music to scare off the spies.
Did Phil send one of you guys a joke recently?
Yes.
How was the joke? Was it any good?
Yes, I laughed. I was crying so hard.
He hasn't showed me the joke.
What joke was that? Was that the joke about the guy with the taser gun?
Yeah, the one that I had on my wall.
That was hilarious.
I know.
I actually
peed
myself a little bit.
So what else is going on over there? How's the weather?
Yeah, what's the weather like?
Last week, you could wear no pants and no knickers or whatever you think.
Okay.
Because it was so hot. This week, snow, ice, really, really cold. Really cold this week.
Yeah, we went from going in shorts and tank tops, and now it's like jeans and a t-shirt weather.
Yeah.
This week, really, really cold.
Well, Bill, you had to break out your chest the other day.
You know, I had to do, I didn't have to. I did a motorcycle run last weekend, and I don't like to do motorcycle runs at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. There's no reasonable. And the damn thing, it rained on me pretty much most of all morning. It stopped raining. It wasn't rain. It was a soft rain. But
right.
It was enough to get everything wet. So I actually, for the first time in 12 months, I broke out my chaps. Now, my chaps are always on the motorcycle. But the first time I broke out warm, it was wet. California
yeah,
people,
you know what, that sounds really rude in Scotland, what you've just said.
Well, yeah, see, you know, here in Illinois, they're at the Phil and Bill are in California. So in Illinois, since we get snow and they don't, except in the mountains, the guys are diehard ride fans, okay? So it doesn't matter if it's snowing, raining, they're out there. And they're not in their chaps. They got their jackets on, but not their chaps.
Well, since I've moved to California,
my blood. Well, it shows a difference of who is tough-skinned and who isn't.
When I lived in Boston, I was tough, but I come to California, my blood is thin. I mean, when I lived in Boston.
When did you live in Boston?
Up until 1964, 5.
Is it 4 or 5?
You were born then.
Pardon me?
So
what was the question there?
Born then.
Before then?
No, she was just born then.
Oh, well, I'm a very, 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 very old.
You were born in 65?
Who was born in 65?
Scotland was, she said.
I was born in 64.
64.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. I don't look my age at all. I know. I get that all the time.
I don't look mine either. I was born in 58.
No way.
Okay, that's your story.
I was born in 1949. People think I look a lot older than I am. They go, God, can he still walk? Can he still ride his motorcycle?
Yeah, but you know what gives you away? If you got rid of the beard, you'd look different.
Oh, I couldn't do that, child.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a child.
Can I cut in here? What are you all doing at the weekend? Are you doing anything nice at the weekend?
Well, there's a 55th anniversary party for Sonny in Cave Creek.
Phoenix, Arizona area.
Phoenix, so I might be riding to Phoenix tomorrow night.
And I've got a funeral on with Scripter's Motorcycle Club. I may be down to that one.
And I've got a big Easter dinner to cook.
There may be another funeral before the funeral I'm going to.
Right.
So I may be going to one or two, and you may be in Arizona.
What about you, Nora? What are you doing?
Just ham dinner at home.
Okay.
What are you
doing?
Gary, what are you going to do?
I'm not going to say live on radio.
Oh. Some people get out of the walk. Send guys over here.
I'm working as well.
Oh, okay. Are you guys? Oh, so you won't be with the boys?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm working all weekend.
Okay.
What kind of work are you doing, Carrie?
Well, I'm working in my shop during the day.
Oh, okay.
And at night, I go to work as well. So I'm working all weekend.
So you're working two jobs?
Yeah.
Which one's more fun? The day job or the night job?
My night job is more fun, definitely.
Okay.
I work in the nightclub at night, if anybody's wondering what I'm talking about.
You do what?
She works in the nightclub.
Okay.
Sorry? Yeah, nightclub's more fun.
Okay.
Sorry, Carrie. Sometimes they don't pay attention. They're men.
No.
We're a little slow.
We're just trying to put it together here.
We're men.
They have to get their hearing aid situated. Sorry.
No,
well,
but
you know, Let me ask you this, what you guys think about this, okay? And, Carrie, I want your opinion on this, because this might be in it. This might come over there to where you're at. But we got a Republican governor here in Indiana. His name is Mitch Daniels. And he signed a bill allowing citizens to use deadly force against the police.
If they think the police are illegally
entering their homes.
Yeah, that's the factor there. So if you think...
Do they have that in Scotland?
Over here, you can use self-defense.
Yeah.
But, what I don't agree with is your justice system over there, to be honest. I think it's unjust, unreal, disgusting.
Well, yeah, because
the sentences that people get over there for things that are, what's the word I'm looking for?
Harsh.
Right, for instance, we had a woman today called Karen Matthews, yeah?
Okay.
4 years ago, she pretended that her daughter, I think she was 8 or 9, was kidnapped by a so-called paedophile, yeah? What happened was, I think it was 24 days later, they found a little girl in her stepdad's brother's room. She'd hid her there because she wanted the £50,000, money, to help out to find her.
She wanted to ransom?
When she was found, she got 8 years in jail, yeah? Only 8 years. But she got let out after 4, yeah? Which is disgusting in my eyes. Because she used her little girl for her own benefit. Anyway, over in America, you do absolutely nothing compared to that. And there's life, or you never get out, or you never get a fair trial. And I find it just disgusting, the system over there. Whereas over in the UK, you at least get a sort of fair trial, I think, and then you get off with murder, if you like. Well, some people do.
Yeah.
But over in America, I find it very unfair. You know, the things that I read and hear, and I write to a lot of people, and I think it's disgusting the way that the American system is run, to be honest with you.
It is. Basically, the court system here, depending on which level you go to, like traffic court, is just a big Ponzi scheme to get money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there are certain things, you know, where they're just looking more for the money than what they're actually doing on a conviction, you know. And they continue it, so that way it's more money in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because we're so tolerant, because you and I live so close to Mexico, which is exactly 45 minutes from as I'm speaking to you. 45 minutes, screwdriver and I can be in Mexico. And in Mexico, they just shoot you. They don't even deal with that court shit. So
really?
We have so many that go on in Mexico all the time. It's just there is no system in Mexico. So maybe we're a little more tolerant because our neighbors have nothing. But then we also have Canada, and we also have Australia, which is a bad... Yeah, it's tough all over. But maybe someday Americans will come together and stand up, say enough's enough. Maybe.
Yeah. But not all of us are tall, Bill. You know, not all of us have your height.
Well.
I just find that it's maybe just the way I'm looking at things, but from my point of view, from the UK, well, from Scotland, I look on at your justice system, and I think it's absolutely disgusting, to be honest.
It is. Because a lot of things that they do...
from people, and the way that you have to live, I mean, if that happened to an animal, that would be all over the news. But because it's people that the system doesn't care about, nothing is said, nothing is done about it. That's the way I view it anyway.
Well, it's not like
just
people
think
don't care.
If that happened in the UK to what happens to people over there, and you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That it would not be tolerated over here. No way. Getting things
well,
withheld
like
and treated
it's
like worse than dogs, and it's disgusting. Absolutely
well,
disgusting.
It's
I
not
think
like
the
we don't
justice
care.
System over there is disgusting.
Well, it's not like we don't care. We do, but even
I'm
if
that
everybody,
you don't. I'm talking about the people that run the justice system, do not.
Oh
give
yeah.
A flying,
yeah, they're thieves.
You know what?
Right.
About
I mean,
how people
thieves.
Are treated.
Yeah.
There's not a fair trial for anyone, as far as I'm concerned, over there. Nothing.
Right.
And just think, a few years ago, there was no programs like this where people would even discuss this.
No.
Oh,
years
really?
Ago, everybody
oh,
just
I
had
didn't
a...
know that either.
That's why I'm so
I
happy
think it's
people...
a disgrace, to be honest. And the people who run the system over there should be ashamed, but they're not ashamed. All they do is... Oh, I don't know. I don't want to say on air, to be honest.
Well, you can say whatever you want, dear. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
One World, it's our show. As much as
yeah,
yours, as Nora, as Bill, Phil.
Well, to be honest with you, letters get withheld, their meds get withheld, they get treated like absolute shit, and I get really annoyed about it because, you know what, no matter what you do or what you say or how you try and help, nothing helps.
Hmm.
And I just feel so sorry for the men and women, of course, who are over there in prison and going through hell. Honestly, it really upsets me, and it makes me feel sick that the 21st century in America or Canada, where they're all locked down, they're getting treated like this. It
right.
really makes me sick.
Well, what are some of your suggestions? Because I always remember in school, my teacher said to me...
Well, just to treat them... You know what? Just to give everybody a fair trial, yeah? Treat them proper.
Uh-huh.
Just treat them like human beings, because I'm afraid to say, from what I've seen, well, not seen, but what I've heard, they don't even get treated like human beings. They don't even get treated like animals. It's lower than that. And that's what's really sickening, I find.
Are you breaking this down according to the financial class system or the racial class system? Those that have the money have to pay by the rules. Those that don't have the money?
I'm just going by the UK. Okay, the UK is very more lenient, I think. You get the likes of her that I was talking about earlier on, who's got out after 4 years, after making out her daughter was kidnapped by a so-called paedophile when clearly she wasn't.
Right.
There's loads of other cases, but there's lots of cases that I could say, and they would have got, they would not get the time like what some of the men or women that I've heard of over in the States, and they get light and they can't even get out, and they haven't even done anything wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we have
and
people...
And they've done nothing. They've done absolutely
right.
nothing. And it honestly, it maddens me that some people over there don't even get a fair trial, don't even get a hearing, don't even get heard. They just get locked up until the state finds something to do them with. It just makes me feel sick, to be honest.
Well, in the 21st century, that
a modern government in America or Canada chooses to still act like they're in the dark ages.
Right. Now, do you guys
really
have surveillance? Do you guys have surveillance issues there like we do here?
Surveillance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, where they track you by your phone. they can track you by your cable box.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure, you know, because,
At the same time, we do treat, our system does treat people like underdogs as well, but not as bad as over there. No way that I know of anyway. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've never heard of the injustice like guys go through over there. No way.
I don't know for sure if I got the response to my question. Are you based this upon like the rich versus the poor? Are you referring this more to the racial imbalance in America? Or are you just saying everybody's all lumped in when they get a fair share? The rich, the poor, or the racial? Which way are you facing this question?
I'm not basing it on anything really. I can understand where you're coming from. See, it's totally different over here because you don't have... We have, like, the system where legal aid... Have you heard of legal aid?
No.
Right. Well, legal over aid. Here...
legal aid, I'm sorry.
Have you heard of the NHS? National Health Service. Right, just say you're very sick over here, yeah? You can get treated free in the hospital, yeah?
Yeah, and they don't have that here.
And legal aid is the same. It's if you're not working or you're on a low income, you can get a free lawyer, yeah? Whereas over there, I don't think you're entitled to any of that if you're not,
you can get a free attorney here.
Something.
Right, you can get a free attorney here. It's called
give me your opinion
defender.
On democracy versus socialism. Which one would you favor?
Sorry?
Give me your opinion on democracy versus socialism, because obviously you're referring to the advantages of being a socialist-type country. What do you favor, socialism or democracy?
What I believe in is everyone should be due to the same rights, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And especially when you've been blamed for something that you've not done.
That's
and
true.
I believe
yeah,
that,
the president's
I believe
a full
over,
like that.
Well, over here, right, you can get free help if you've been even if you've done wrong. Or even if you've not done wrong, you can still get the same help. Over there, well, as far as I know, as I believe, maybe I'm wrong, I think over there, if you've got lots of money, yeah, oh, hell yeah, you can get the help you want.
Yeah, but see, money doesn't buy it
money,
all.
Money buys you everything. Yeah, I know that.
Not necessarily here.
Well, I'm not sure about that because I've never experienced over there, but
right.
I know from what I've read and seen that you definitely need money over there to get through things.
Well, in some things, yes, but not in all. You know, like you could be a billionaire, but they're still going to treat you the same in the court system than if you have $500 in your pocket.
All right. It's not the impression I get, Nora, to be honest.
Right. No, like I said, that's the unfortunate thing. Money doesn't always walk, you know.
Yeah.
The saying that we use, money talk, or however that saying goes, I'm sorry. But, you know, in some instances it can, and some it doesn't.
Right. Well, I was under the impression that you never got free health care over there, and you never got free... help from any lawyer?
Well, you get free attorneys. They're called public defenders, okay? In regards to free health,
Where the fuck?
What?
Where the fuck?
We know this, but they are still attorneys and they are free if you don't have money. You know,
but
they hurry up and...
I actually thought that if you never had any money, you didn't have a job or whatever, you got nothing, and
right.
You were just left... You're just left in the system to rot.
Right.
That's it. That's the impression I got about over there.
Well, in the socialist-type countries where you do get the free education, or excuse me, the free health care and all that, it is being taxed by the upper classes, whereas democracy, we don't have that still. And that debate goes on and on and on again. I know that in many Scandinavian countries, Sweden, et cetera, they are very, very prone for all that free aid, free medical assistance. But when I talk to my friends that have money over there,
well, you know,
they
Bill,
are getting taxed to death.
Well, you know, Bill, I'm still looking for the forms to become an illegal alien.
Yeah,
because I can sure use the benefits.
So it affects everybody. I know, for example, in France today, a friend of mine, he has to pay taxes to the government for his employee, and then he has to pay half again for his employee's taxes again. That's why so many people in France try to use their own relatives. They're exempt from that. So businesses have to pick up the slack for the socialist-type countries, which offer the free medical, free dental, free et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
There is no right or wrong. There's two thoughts as to who has to pay. Somebody has to pay. But in the countries where you have medical, it's the businesses and the upper middle class that have to pay. Somebody
that's true.
Has to pay.
You know what? It's the same in the UK. We are so high, you know, on fuel costs. Our
yes,
fuel
sir.
Has yet went up again. 90 pence in the pound in the UK
yes.
goes to the government.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's to pay for the free medical, dental, et cetera, et cetera. All socialist type countries, they are being taxed to death. You either got to be at the very, very top. Well, the very, 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 very bottom. You get
yeah,
killed.
There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground.
Yeah.
If
a friend of mine works
ground,
for Nokia. I think everybody
nothing.
Knows Nokia, the telephone people. They're based
mm-hmm.
out of Finland. And he wanted me to send him over a brand new Camaro, the car. I said, it's going
yeah.
to tax you like crazy. He said, don't worry about it, Bill. I can't remember what I paid for the car, $26,000 or something, give or take. I shipped it overseas. It didn't pay any California taxes because I shipped it out of the country right away. When it got to Finland, he paid another $26,000 in taxes.
My God.
Let me tell you this also about Finland and why, as much as I look at the socialist countries, I'm worried. In Finland, I'm riding down the road, I run a red light. My first offense, based upon my salary, I'm going to get charged X number of dollars. My friend, who was a vice president of Nokia, one of the vice presidents of Nokia, when he runs a red light, he'll be taxed thousands of dollars. It's based upon a financial scale. How much money he makes every time he gets a citation, he has to pay all that. So
right.
it's good and bad in both categories. But if you have money in a socialist country, you're going to pay, and you're going to pay. So good and bad.
Yeah.
I haven't decided what's the best yet. I'm still working on it.
So that actually takes place in Finland?
Yes.
You have to pay?
Yes. Yeah, so you run a stop sign and you pay $100. I'm going to make a price tag up. My friend, he runs the same stop sign the same day. They look at what he makes a year and they use that $100 times whatever form. He could pay $1,000 or $2,000. They got him for speeding.
Well, that doesn't
running.
Happen in the UK. That does
in
not
UK
happen
also?
In the UK.
I just, see, that's where the money comes from.
In the UK.
So somebody's going to pay.
No wonder why there's people that want to come to this country. And I don't mean that bad or rude, you know,
okay.
but I had no idea in some of the other countries what actually takes place.
I never knew that either, Nora.
Right.
I know here, from my own personal experience, that it doesn't get based on your wages. It's a set fine. I've been caught speeding, yeah?
Right.
A few times. And it's been usually it's 3 points. But over here, 12 points you lose your driving license. Yeah. So usually if you get caught speeding or whatever,
right.
it's usually 3 points and a £60 fine.
Right. Which you
and
have
I,
a point system there.
I personally
have
lost my license twice.
Right.
I've lost my license twice, but it's not been based on my wages. It's just a set fine. But if you build up to 12 points, you lose your license for a year.
Wow.
I lost my license a couple of years ago for building up to 12 points.
Right.
And then I still chose to drive, and I got caught again. And that's how, like, after that, it was just another automatic ban for another
okay.
year. But it wasn't based on my wages or anything. It was just a 60 quid fine every time I got caught.
Right.
And then, like, the last time I got caught, it was just an automatic ban because I was already banned.
Right.
Bad girl that I am.
No,
it's not based on our wages over here. It's just a case of getting caught.
Right. Yeah, we don't have a
here in California, I
got
to tell you, I have to be a good boy. Before we had this computer, I could rack up all the tickets I want, and they could yank my license. I'd run across the state line, and I'd be in Arizona. I'd get another license and all that. It was no big deal. When the computer came into effect, that tied all of the states in together. And from that point on, I've had to be a good driver because if I pull my license, I can't ride the motorcycle. If I can't ride the motorcycle, I can't be Bill Kennedy. This is that much part of life for me. But before that, I used to rack up tickets, run across the state line, get another license. I never got questioned.
Yeah, you could do that anywhere here in the States. It was crazy. Like here in Illinois, if you would have gotten your license, you know, suspended for a year where you couldn't drive, all you have to do is just cross over to the Indiana line border, go to the DMV, get a different license and a different state, poof, there you go.
Really?
Yeah.
The computer came into effect.
Once the computer came to the DMV, that's it. No, now you're nationwide.
I feel like that over here. If you're banned, you're banned in the whole UK.
Wow.
There's no line to cross.
Right.
Yeah,
and see here, you know, you got all the states. So, you know, like I said, it was easy for people. Depending upon where they lived, they, you know, if they were close to a border, poof, they just go or they either drive or fly or whatever. And, you know, but what, as Bill said, once the computers came into play, then now you can't do it. You cannot do it for the love of God. I don't care where you go. It follows you.
I just get annoyed. I don't know about yourselves over there. I just get really annoyed that they pick on people who maybe go over the speed limit, like myself.
Right.
But they're not interested in, like, the real criminals, like your pedophiles. They're more interested in chasing after people that maybe go a little bit over the speed limit. Like, when I got caught the last time, and I'm banned again until next April from driving, okay, I was doing 120. Because I knew that I was going to lose my license again anyway and go to court. And whatever. But then I thought to myself, do you know what? They're wasting their time chasing after me, going over the speed limit, and there's real criminals out there.
I know.
Like the pedophiles and the child murderers and whatever. And they're too busy, too interested in chasing after me.
You know, tickets are just a revenue sharing event. If they get you running a red light, stop sign, whatever, it's all revenue. If you're talking about chasing the criminals, all right, they catch the criminals and they put them in jail. There's no money there. We have to pay money for files. We have to pay for the jail. But if they get you running a speeding ticket, they're taking money away from you. That's what that money's all about.
Right, meaning, like, I don't know how they do it where you're at, Carrie, but here in the States, if, say, you went and committed a heinous crime, and you're facing 15 years of life in jail, okay, or in prison. Now, it's everybody that works, their tax dollars go to maintain that prisoner. Every prisoner that is locked down is maintained by taxpayers' money. And some prisons, like per prisoner, it's like $20,000 a year, okay. And other ones, it's different. Every, you know, prison system is different, federal versus your state or your local prisons, you know. Do they do that there in Scotland?
What, the taxpayer has to pay for them? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We have to pay for all the sick bastards, if you like. That go to jail here. And you know what? They have a better life in jail over here, the sickos, than what normal people who are working, paying their taxes have. Honestly, jail over here is like heaven.
Ladies, can I stop you for a second? We have a caller, 415, that wants to jump in and ask a question.
Sure.
415, you're alive. Talk to us. Tell us who you are. Where are you from, please? 415?
Hello, is that me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Tell us who you are. Oh. Where are you from again, please?
My name is Mark. I'm from Long Beach, California, just a little bit north of you there.
And a local guy. What do you want to talk about, sir?
Well, I actually have met Phil before. I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, Bill. But
funny off of you?
Phil, you don't remember. I met him on Super Bowl Sunday, actually. And then
did he borrow any money off you?
Oh, no, he didn't borrow any money from me, no. So I'll keep that in mind next time I see him. Anyway, a couple shows ago, you guys were talking about getting involved. What is the best way to get involved? You know, I'm relatively new to motorcycling. I purchased a used bike last year and started attending some different events. And what is the best way to get involved?
Well, you're involved right now.
To get involved
in
the motorcycle world or the what do you mean get involved?
In the motorcycle world. Biker rights and this type of thing.
You need to start picking up a copy of your Thunder Press or your Quick Throttle or Southern California. Biker's Information Guy, all free.
Or you can check the daily blog that we do. Which today we got 64,352 hits.
There you go. We have got charity runs going on. We have got programs helping our community. Philip and I work with veterans programs. There is so much going on in your neck of the woods. So they got diabetes programs, cancer programs. Go out there and just shake hands with some of the people. Go to some of the charity events, and that's how you start expanding your connections.
Uh-huh.
And as you talk to different people, you find out what's going on, and then you find your level of where you're comfortable. If you think that laws in your town which need to be changed, or some of the stop signs are in the wrong place, or wherever it is, you start slowly. Remember, the police department are not your enemies. You're an American citizen. You're traveling on an American road. They should be your friends. But if they get out of line, or if they're doing something inappropriate, you need to stand up and say, I'd like to address this issue. And then we go further on about how we deal with that. But I would like to see you just get involved in the motorcycle world and charity events.
Well, you know, Bill, also, if you're just up there in Long Beach, you can take a ride down to Kennedy's.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
On the 15th, we're going to have a bike blessing in the street. We're going to have a big party in the street out front of the shop.
Sunday, 12.
As a matter of fact, I already got that scheduled on the calendar. I scheduled myself off from work that day. So, I'm definitely coming down there. And, my wife and I are going to be doing the Yuma prison run, and we've already made arrangements for that. So those are the
things. I'll be there, too. Look for me on Saturday in front of the Victor McLaughlin drill team, okay? I'll be there Friday night, but I don't think you'll be able to find me Friday night. Well, as far as you're going. But Saturday I'll be in front of the Victor McLaughlin drill team. You see a picture of me, walk up and say hello, please.
Well, great, and I hope I get a chance to see you, I guess, that's Saturday or Sunday. The blessing at your place?
That'll be on Sunday.
It'll be on Sunday the 15th.
Sunday, right? That's right. Yeah, Sunday the 15th. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's
Sunday I'll be at Yuma, Arizona. I'll be in front of the Victor McLaughlin teams. Friday night I'll be there, but I don't know how many parties I'll be at.
Right.
And then you say you met me on Super Bowl Sunday. That had to be at the clubhouse, right?
Yes, it was. And so, yeah, that was another question. You know, is a motorcycle club a way of becoming involved, or is that is a motorcycle organization like Abate or Bolt, which I don't know that Bolt is doing a whole lot in this area. Is that another way of becoming involved?
Well,
each organization has different...
Different, yeah. Up north. Right, there's a guy up there in L.A. His name is Danny, I can't remember his last name at the moment, but there's him and there's another guy up there. He's a lawyer. His name is Ray Hinkey. Mm. They're active Bolt members. Down here, I'm an active Bolt member.
We have different motorcycle rights organizations, which they have different avenues of how to get things done. So you need to kind of study a little bit, talk to different ones and find which one appeals to you. Right? Is your personality?
Sure, of course.
Philip and I are different on the motorcycle rights organizations. I don't, you know, agree. I think he has the right to do what he wants. I just look at things a little differently. That's your choice, too. We have Democrats and Republicans running. You find out what's right for you. Bolt, Abate, Bam, anybody else I forgot. You kind of study them all, and then I tell people, you make the right choices. I'm not
right.
One to...
Now, see, Bolt is good, but I was in Abate for many years, which is the same thing as what Phil and Bill are doing. You know, it's all about legislation in regards to the biker rights. Like here in the state of Illinois, we don't have a helmet law. You can choose to wear a helmet if you like, but it is not a law here.
Well, I'll tell you this, Mark. If you want to get on your bike and you just want to ride without a helmet, it's $25 because it's a fix-it ticket. But if you get stopped with the wrong helmet that they think isn't the right helmet, it's $169.
Meaning don't wear a helmet with a tinted shield. They want to see your face.
I do want to point out to you, if you're going to be in Arizona, of course, we don't have to wear any helmet laws, but I must ask you to wear eye protection 24 hours a day. So if you're going to ride around Arizona, take your helmet off, you must have clear sunglasses on. They will write you a ticket in a second if you don't have eye protection on. Take your helmet off if you want in Arizona, but bring night glasses or clear glasses, okay?
Or a yellow tinted one.
Tinted, yes.
Right. Yeah, I've got those, so I'll be prepared for that.
And then, this way,
just gives you a little bit different outlook on, you know, you're in California, obviously, but, you know, it gives you a different perspective on what you should do and what you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Well, we got to hold on a second, you guys. Everybody stay right where you're at. Hello, Stormy. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Not bad.
Stormy, is that you? Bill Kennedy. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, honey? I hadn't talked to you in a while.
I want to thank you for this nice tape you sent me. That was kind of nice.
CD,
thank you.
Bill.
CD,
not a tape, Bill.
45, whatever the hell it is with that.
I'm glad you liked it.
We have Nora's on from Chicago.
Hi, Stormy.
Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We've been battling sinuses here. How have y'all been up there? Y'all ain't that far
away.
Oh,
it's in the 50s here, so it's jean and t-shirt material for right now.
Oh, my gosh. It's down in the 50s right now, but we've been having 90-degree weather. My sinuses have been torn up.
Well, you guys have been getting sacked with the rain and the storms down there. We haven't gotten
it. Oh, yeah, we've been having tornadoes all around us today. I've been enjoying it. My little garden's enjoying the rain.
Right.
You know, you want to really quickly, we're talking about going to Arizona. Make sure you bring sinus with you to Arizona. I get hit kind of hard in Arizona when I'm over there. So Long Beach is just a suggestion for you. If you don't take sinus, you might take something out there. Stormy, what's new? What's the world?
Well, we got Kerry's in Scotland.
Yeah.
And we got Mark up in Long Beach.
And he's going to go to Arizona with us. Yeah. He's going to go to the party. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the guys go, but the three girls don't go to any runs at all. All right. That's fine. None
that's
of the girls
okay.
Show up for
We're
anywhere.
Just meant to look pretty. That's
it's
all.
Okay. We're all going to come with you.
Yeah. We're going. You better make room on your bikes. We're coming.
Oh, May. But now you asked what was new with May. Just been writing a whole bunch, trying to build up more material. I know that's all it sounds like I've been doing, but that's a lot of work, a lot of focusing, and listening to a bunch of new songs and everything like that, writing and everything. So I've been trying to work for a new project, getting all that built up, and going out and experiencing the magic in the forest, going turkey hunting.
Right.
Have
you done any new shows, concerts?
No, but I've got some stuff that I'm planning for in June, maybe going up to New England. So that should be fun. Looking forward to that. Maybe set up some stuff in North Carolina again soon. That was really fun.
Right.
And everything. So, you know, I've just more been working towards the project stuff. I've been doing more local gigs and everything like that. I haven't been going out and traveling a whole bunch.
Right.
Are you using an arrow when you're hunting, or are you using a rifle or a shotgun or something? When you're turkey hunting?
Shotgun.
Shotgun, okay. A friend of mine goes out every now and then back in the Midwest. And he's that bow and arrow type of crazy person. So I try to picture you running through the forest with a bow and arrow. You know.
I'll put on my tights, my little Peter Pan suit, but run through there. No, I do a shotgun. My little friend that I go with, he likes to do the whole archery thing. So that's more his stuff. I don't think I really have the accuracy for that.
Right.
But
your friend you go with, does that sound kind of like, what is
this?
What is this all about here? Huh? We want to know.
Boyfriend, fine. Boyfriend.
Friend? Didn't have a boyfriend last time we talked, did she? No, I don't think so.
No.
What job does he have?
He's growing up. Leave her alone.
Retirement.
What'd you say?
Does he have a 401k? Does he have a retirement plan? Is he working towards retirement? Is he college educated? What's he doing all these things?
He isn't college educated, but he has a really good job, and he's got really good work, and right around here, that's saying something. So,
all right.
I mean, he's a good guy. All that sort of stuff don't really matter. He's a good guy. He treats me right.
Does your mother like him?
All that counts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does your mother like him?
Well, Mama loves him. Mama
there you go.
There you go.
Your mother's
okay.
We're on the fence.
All right. I had a question. All right then.
Okay.
I won't bug you anymore.
Yes. Now settle down, guys. Fine.
But yeah, he's been taking me out turkey hunting, and he told me I'm gonna have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning again. We've already done this a couple of times, so.
Real quick.
Huh?
Don't worry about that. I'll get old real quick.
It's. Getting up early doesn't really bother me because I don't sleep too much as it is, but it's the hot. I'm really looking forward to deer hunting season more. It's warm down here crawling through those river bottoms, so.
That sounds great.
Yeah, he sounds like a good guy.
Yeah.
Does he play any instruments at all? Does he understand your music, or is he just like you as a person? Or?
Well, I mean, we met at some little old bar I sang at and everything and had friends in common, and they just kind of introduced us and everything like that. But he understands the music. He doesn't get jealous of the time I spend on that. He gives me my space for that because, I mean, he understands the way I put it to him is I wouldn't come out there while you're working construction.
Yeah.
And everything and harp you about your job. And this is my job, so I do pretty good at keeping that all separate, so.
I hope he understands how many uncles you have.
Oh, yeah, he's gotten a pretty good picture, he's been told. He's been told by plenty of people exactly how many uncles I've got, so he's treating me right.
Good, because tell him that he'd have no place to run, no place to hide.
No, not with people worldwide, no.
Definitely not. Well, I don't think he's going to do any running. He's a good guy, so.
Go with your instincts.
That's all that counts.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm young. I'm having fun. That's
what it's all about.
Yeah, nothing too serious. I mean, plenty of time for that later.
Right.
But anyways, what's new with y'all? What's new with all of y'all?
Motorcycle runs, parties, it doesn't change.
No. All that stuff is out there. We hadn't started up on ours yet.
Every weekend, it's crazy. Like this weekend.
I mean, it's always warm out there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we're finally getting back into riding weather here now.
Well, no, you have to understand, their cold is like 60 degrees. I'm like, are you kidding me? 60 degrees here is nice. It's wonderful weather.
It's absolutely beautiful weather here. That's my kind of weather right there, but that's cold for y'all. Bull crap.
No, that's cold for California. They don't have tough skin like we do.
Or good thick coats, I guess.
Yeah.
But, no, I think our first really good set of poker runs start coming up around maybe the end of April. All that really gets started up here around that time.
You see, one of the disadvantages of being out here, though, is I don't do that many poker runs per se, because sometimes I have to do two poker runs at the same day. So usually I just call somebody up and say, what's the final destination? And I'll meet you there, and then I'll blast over, and I got to do another end, or I could be in Orange County or L.A. or I got to be at the end of the second run. So I've got so much going on, I rarely get to do a poker stop, five stops, and all that. And in the business, Kennedy's Custom Cycles, you know I can't win any prizes, or I can't win any raffle prizes, or people start
But they all want to make sure that I win something.
Well, you see, I donate money for raffle prizes, and I give it to the people putting the show on, because I can't win any prizes. It's just inappropriate, you know?
Well, it's all fun. It's all fun whether you win something or not, or anything. I guess it's just the getting out and being around people you like.
Right. The only thing I really wish someday all you people could ever get to go to Mexico with this. It's not America.
You wouldn't want me there. We'd all be stuck there forever.
I could actually get a tan down there.
You can get a tan down there, trust me.
Well, I'll show up in our bikinis. There you go.
Everybody, close out, punch up punch up rockypoint.com. That's a run we go in November in Espanol, Puerto Penasco. And for us gringos, it's going to be Rocky Point. Punch up the computer. See what the Sea of Cortez looks like. Bathtub warm water. 10,000 of us cross the border for a party. It's so beautiful down there.
I would love to go to Mexico sometime. My mom tells me all these old stories about whenever she was married to her first husband. He got killed in a motorcycle wreck back in 1981. But she tells me all these old stories about whenever they would go down to Mexico and everything like that. And it's really cool. I've always wanted to go. Sounds like a really cool
mother
place.
And I were talking. I think I dated your grandmother. Did she tell you that? Stormy?
So sorry if you did. What'd you say?
Oh, Bell.
Can I cut in for a minute?
No, beer.
Sure. I have to go now because it's like nearly 3:30 in the morning in Scotland, and I'm up again in like an hour for work. So I just want to wish you all a really good night. It was really lovely talking to you all.
Oh,
you too.
Same here.
And don't be afraid
to
call back,
y'all.
And we love your way.
Okay. Lots of
love. Good night, little girl.
Good night. Bye.
Good night.
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 Scotland, you know, it's just that cold just a little bit too much for me, I think.
You know Bill,
I'm thinking of...
I love that accent.
Yeah, and I'm also thinking of the kilts. I'm sorry. My mind is just stuck there.
The kilts, huh?
Yeah.
Check that out. You can go see Braveheart. You'll get all the kilt looking under you want.
When they bend over and they flash their assets at the English, yes.
They actually do that? Oh, I've never seen that movie. I'm going to have to see it.
You know, the last CD we got from Stormy is, by the way, my wife wore your T-shirt to her doctor's the other day, and the doctor said how much she liked your T-shirt. But on your last album, Stormy, Someone Likes Me. What's
Someone
your favorite
Like
one?
Me.
Someone Like Me, sorry. What's your favorite?
My favorite?
Yeah. I like the play one so everybody can hear it.
I like the Barstool Logic.
Okay. Stormy, on that CD, what's your favorite on this one?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. All the CDC, I spent so much time picking those songs out and learning them and getting them just like I wanted them. I have favorites for different things. Like the one that I think really turned out the best was Times Like This, but the most fun, the one that was the most fun was Bill Hilly.
I like Times Like This also, I think. Do you mind? I hope everybody gives a second here. This is our... my ex-wife, Stormy Montana.
Future ex-husband.
I dated her grandmother, but it's a long story. It's a long story. Bill's going to run that up for everybody to see this. He's a good person, good friend of ours. Stormy and I stopped dating each other when she got so old on me. She's up in the years now, but... Still, are you 18, 19?
I'm 18.
Stormy? Oh, 18.
Yeah, I'm still a baby.
I wish everybody could see her when I knew when she was like 13 and 14, but 18 now. She's getting up there in the years now.
Here we go.
Here we go, my friend.
You got one hand on the wheel, you got one at the window, and you're making like a wing in the wind. There's a duster flying by, making an arrow in the sky, so we know which way we should be going. And my feet are up on the dashboard, and I'm painting my door, let it go. I say, keep your hands to yourself and keep your eyes on the road.
You know, I sometimes refer to her as a old spirit in a young girl's body. She's singing way beyond what she should be having, so it's got to be all feelings that she must be stored up, maybe from her parents, maybe from her grandparents. And from
we
ways.
Have a caller from 508. Are you there, please?
508, jump in, please.
Hi, Phil. It's Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Nora. I promised you
oh.
I would call.
What's I know.
What's tonight's topic? I just tuned in by phone.
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Like a smorgasbord?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Ooh,
right
see?
Now we're talking to Stormy out of Dresden, Tennessee. That was her song we just played. That was one of her
oh.
favorites.
Yeah,
hey,
I heard when I called in, that was what was playing in my ear. I was like, oh, who is this?
At Bay
it
May.
Sounded good. Yeah,
well,
it sounded
you.
Good. Oh, you! Oh, I love your accent. Oh my God, that's
from
awesome.
Tennessee.
Yeah, I kind of
yeah.
got the sound in my mouth. Sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good. It sounds great. So everybody's doing well this evening then.
Yeah, hanging in there.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So, what's new?
Nothing
well,
really.
We had a caller from Scotland.
Really? Awesome.
Yeah. Well, she's on my page. She's been there for a long time, and it was just funny, you know, when she called in. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, Philip, what's new in government politics? Enlighten me.
Okay. You're sitting down for this one?
Oh, lay it on me.
Hey, before you lay it on her real quick, I'm going to go ahead and jump off here. I'm going to listen to the rest of the show, but I'm going to jump off here and get ready for bed since I've got to stay up and be
well,
in the woods by
four. Well, thanks
for
calling, Stormy. It was great talking with you again.
I have
good
fun
night,
talking to y'all, too. I'll have to call in one night whenever I'll be able to have more than 30 minutes to talk.
Yeah,
no worries.
And happy trails.
Sammy, Stormy, lots of luck to you and keep your health, and we'll talk to you sometime soon, okay?
And remember to stay on the butt end of the gun.
Oh, yeah, I know which end to shoot from.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, love you guys. Y'all take care.
Love you, too. Bye, good
all
night.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye. All right, okay, Stacey, here we got, I'll give you, you can pick which one.
Okay.
The first one is, don't talk to the police.
Oh.
The second one is, police are using your phone as a tracking routine?
No.
Uh-huh.
Third one is the Indiana governor signs a bill allowing citizens to protect themselves and to use deadly force against police officers.
Ooh.
That's
Ooh, no.
only if they wrongfully come to your home.
If they don't have a search warrant produced, then you can defend yourself.
Correct.
There's always
well,
this and that.
But what are like the limitations on that? Defend yourself as in arm yourself as in smack a cop? I mean, what are the limitations on that? I might just want to move back to the South Bend area and
neck
go on a rampage.
Limitations are if they're coming into your house.
What?
The limitations are if they're coming into your house just to come in.
Yeah. Meaning, like, say if they had a call, and instead of them, like, talking to you at the door on your front porch, and they
oh, how they
force
casually
themselves
just,
in. Right.
Yeah, force themselves in, yeah.
Right.
That's a lovely catch-22 there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I learned when I lived out in Michigan, and it was through people living on the side of me, they had some type of domestic dispute going on, but when you invite a person in your house, I'm not sure where the laws are anywhere else, but when you invite a party into your house, guess what? You can't tell them to leave. You can't, like, kick them out if they don't want to leave. Yeah, there was a lot to do with that. I was like, are you kidding me? So, I don't know.
If a police officer asks you, can I come in, just say no.
Yeah.
Oh, I always say no. I usually step out on the porch. I'll step out the door and talk to them. I don't allow them in any of my business. That's for sure.
It's just that you don't have to let them in your house.
No.
For an American.
Yep.
You have your rights. You need to understand your rights. That's what's important about life. We have a caller on the phone from Long Beach who's just getting involved in the motorcycle rights.
But he...
Is he hung up already?
He hung up already.
Oh, okay. Then he was kind of wanting to
hear
the show.
I mean, we can call him back if you want.
No, it's okay. We want to hear the show, maybe. He's still kind of new to everything. He's trying to get involved in everything. I want to get his input on something, but that's okay. Some people want to listen to us. Some people want to ask a question, and then some people want to be the whole show, which is good.
And, you know, me, I had, you know... an extremely difficult time to log in today. They didn't want to let me in.
Ah, those wonderful little internet bugs.
Yeah. Once some critters get in, they just, you know, want to keep you. And I've never had that problem before. It was ridiculous. You know, I'm like, oh, God. And
well,
so I finally got in.
You know, the other day I was having my hair done. And my girlfriend that does my hair, she's a lot younger than I am by a good 15 to 20 years.
Well,
and,
I was going to say, well, you're not old.
Well,
Bill thinks he's old and he's not old.
Well, I had foils in my hair, and I made the comment. I'm like, oh, they could definitely hear our conversation now. And she looked at me, she goes, what do you mean? I'm like, I got tinfoil in my hair. I'm making antennas to the people up above that can hear us. And she looked at me like I had three heads. I'm like, forget it.
Yeah, you know, I know. Some things, it just goes right over. You know,
yep.
And today it was like one of those days, you know, talking with people, and my blonde roots just decided to come out of my brunette head. It's just been days, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So, I don't know, all is quiet here in Massachusetts for the most part.
Well, up in New Jersey, it's not really quiet. And I'll tell
you
what.
You got a crazy governor up there.
No, wait until you hear this one. This is like crazy. Sorry.
The judge's ruling allows the suit against the state police to go forward for allegedly harassing bikers.
What?
Yeah.
Who represents three members of two motorcycle clubs stopped in New Jersey by troopers who demanded they remove their colors, bearing the bike club colors and logos, says the federal judge recent decision in this case is a First Amendment victory.
Wow.
He's allowing the suit to go forward for allegedly harassing seven bikers who were riding in Burlington County in July of 2009. The trooper told him there's only two colors on this road, blue and
what?
The color of the New Jersey State Troopers. But the audio and the video captured from the trooper's car recording system and sports the bikers' claims that their First Amendment rights were violated. So state officials asked the judge to dismiss the suit, but the judge said no. He let it go forward, and he said that the Camden will probably appeal.
Wow. But, you know, it just kind of... That's kind of a positive thing, you know, because even if all fails in court, okay, the fact of the matter that this judge was actually able to sit down and say, you know, yeah, you know, this is a possibility that there have been some rights violated here, kind of sets the stage, you know, that maybe other judges should, you know, following suit, because I think the whole wearing colors thing, which I've stated in previous shows, I think it's just ridiculous the way the police harass anybody wearing colors. And the whole thing is just ridiculous.
It's profiling.
It absolutely is. The stigma is beyond stench at this point. It's like if you got a reason to pull them over, and, you know, whatever it may be, okay. But to just, you know, here comes a motorcycle club and now we're going to go harass them? No. That's baloney. It's baloney, you know, because you wouldn't get away with doing, you know, would they get away with pulling a bunch of priests over? You know, you can't ride because you're in your priestly clothes. You know, it doesn't work
right.
Like that. And it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous because you wouldn't ask a form of a veteran to remove, like, you know, sometimes they wear coats and hats, you know, the places that they've either served or the ships they were on. Would you ask any of them, you know, remove your stuff? Or a nun, you know, get a couple of nuns together? Would you ask them? It's the same thing. It's just showing a display of I'm a member of, you know, this club or this group or this organization, whatever, you know, and I that burns in me. It just does because there are so many other things that the police could be doing, and they would rather harass a bunch of people on motorcycles. And it's
right.
It's just totally
wrong.
So
being a biker, you have a vested interest in knowing how to deal with the police when you're pulled over. For example,
right.
He walks up, you don't say, good afternoon, sir. You don't say, what the fuck you stopped me for? No, you say things like, yes, no. May I see your driver's license? You hand the driver's license, blah, blah, blah. You, as a motorcycle person, I believe we have a responsibility. Screwdriver and I, in 30 to 45 seconds of pullover, we are running that pullover. It's not the officer.
Yep.
The officer doesn't know if Philip and I are mass murderers, axe murderers. He has no idea at all. 30 to 45 seconds, we are controlling the tempo, the atmosphere. And I tell other motorcycle clubs, you have to learn to deal with these people on their level and say, what the fuck? Stop me for, that's not getting you nowhere. Kissing their butt, that's getting you nowhere. But you got to know where your rights are, and you got to, you know, stand up and say, bang, 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 bang. Let me see your driver's license. You pull your driver's license, registration, insurance over. 1, 2, 3. Don't be looking, well, wait, my registration's over here, and wait. My insurance is over. No, no. All together. You don't pull out your wallet unless they ask you. You pull up the side of the road, shut your bike off, keep your hands on the handlebars. If they ask you your ID, give your ID. They ask you to sign a ticket, sign the ticket. It's not the cop's job to argue with you over the ticket. That's what the judge is for. Why make this more difficult? You need, as a motorcycle rider, men and women, you need to not control the situation, guys.
Yeah, well, one thing I do, and I mean, I'm sure a lot of people do this, but my registration and my insurance paper I have in this little plastic. It's like a clear plastic, almost something that you put a bank book in, and it sits right at the top of my box. And should I get pulled over, it's an automatic open the box, grab that, shut it, and grab my license out of my wallet. There's no fiddling with nothing and making, you know, a cop nervous as to why you don't have all your information where it needs to be. So things are just moved quickly and, you know, however it's going to go. Because I've seen people who...
Buy that at all. You girls just hike your dress up a little bit and do the top button, show a little cleavage, and the cop walks away. You don't ever get a ticket.
Not me.
I show him my panties.
Oh.
Well, I told Phil a couple of months ago I had a little incident that happened over here, and, you know, the police kind of showed up, and I didn't let them in. I kind of stepped out on the porch, and when the cop got up in my face, I answered his question with a question, and I did it twice, and next thing I know, I was manhandled, thrown around, tied up, and put in the back of the cruiser, but... You know, as soon as I got down to the police station, the first word out of my mouth was, I want a lawyer. And the lieutenant was like, oh, we can go about this easy. I said, we ain't going about it nothing. I'm like, I'm not saying nothing. I'm not discussing anything with you. I want a lawyer, and we'll discuss all this in court. And needless to say, four times through the judicial system, et cetera, and everything was dismissed, you know, because I knew.
You don't ask for any special treatment. That's your right as an American citizen.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, I wasn't, and I told him, I'm like, I'm not some little chump you picked up that don't know, you know, A to B. I'm like, I know my rights. I know what was done. And I know you guys are way out of sync, and I'm going to leave it like that, you know? So it's, you have to educate yourself. You have to be informed. You have to know what's going on, and you can't walk around in this world with your head stuck up your ass. And that's pretty much the truth of it. And we had this conversation before with the younger society, the way they're growing up and the things they're doing. I can't get over it at times because I was raised very old-fashioned to be aware of things, not to not be aware of things. And I don't know. People just
we ask all of
smart.
Our friends, please don't drink and drive. And people say, oh, build some type of abolitionist or something. No, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just telling you, you do drink and drive, you're dealing with the police at a disadvantage.
Right.
Get where you're
Absolutely.
Going, then open that beer if you want, or smoke that joint if that's what you want. But when you drink and drive, you cloud the issues, you're not at full capacity. You make it easier on the police to put you away. So I ask everybody, point A to point B, and then at point B, if that's where you're going to be at, have a drink or two. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but I ask all my friends, please don't drink and drive anymore. I can't afford to keep losing my friends this way.
No, that's the truth. That's the truth. There's so much careless accidents that happen because of that stuff there, alcohol and driving. And, you know, it just takes a minute to say, here, you know, here's my keys. I'm going to sit idle for a couple of hours and whatever, you know.
Right.
And there's no need to set yourself up like that. There's no need to put yourself in harm's way or anybody else.
Guys, hang on for a second. We got Fran Del Santo from San Diego wants to join the conversation. Fran, you're live.
Well, I'll tell you what. For over 30 minutes, I don't know who's blocking me from getting in, but for 30 minutes, I couldn't get you on my computer. I couldn't call you. You hosed up my computer.
Wow.
And this is. I don't know what the story is tonight. But,
I don't either, because I had a hard time, too.
Okay, so at least I don't feel so
You're not the only one.
Well, see, I haven't been online. I just, like, came outside to smoke a butt, and I looked at the time, and I'm like, ooh. I'm like, the radio show's still going on. So I hit my cell phone, and I was able to get through. I haven't, like, finagled with the computer at all. So, I mean, I couldn't tell you either way how my computer's acting at the moment.
Well, no, it's not the computer. It's just we couldn't log in at all. I could sign in, but it wouldn't show nothing.
Wow.
It would show different blog shows, but not this.
Wow.
So, and it was crazy. And I was on the phone. I'm like, I can't get in. They're not letting me in.
Yeah, that really sucked.
Yeah.
I couldn't even listen to what you guys were even talking about tonight.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, Congress keeps saying that they're going to improve this system. Congress tells us they're going to get more involved. I say this right now and then. Government, stay out of our business. Only on a program talk to somebody from Scotland, talk to somebody from Tennessee, talk to somebody from all different states and countries. Only on a free program like this can people talk, dialogue, communication back and forth. But Congress says, we're getting more involved. We're going to make it better for you.
Sad because we're not doing anything wrong. It's information only.
Yep. What they want to do is control what you hear, see, breathe, and sleep on, pretty much. And as long as they can control that and know everything that everybody's doing in their world, all is well. I can't stand it.
Right.
Information. They don't want us sharing information. No, I'm
exactly.
not paranoid or anything. I'm just saying that the more we can't communicate with each other, that's better for them. In Mexico today, now, Fran, you're right down by the border. You know this. To have a bullet is a felony.
Wow.
People having weapons. Forget the weapons. Anyone have a bullet? They're afraid of letting the people. They don't want them to have CBs, I swear to you. No CBs
what?
Down there.
That's horrible.
Communication. To go through the government control stations. This program is all across the world. We're the last bastion of freedom where we can sit and talk to each other, and I want to hear what you have to say, and hopefully you hear what we want to say.
And I wonder how long they're going to let it ride before they all of a sudden want to implement rules and regulations to it.
Past year, they've been looking very carefully how they can improve it. They keep saying that word, improve it.
Is that like improvement on the gas prices? Improve what? Oh my God, I can't.
You can't have a government that can have people speak to each other freely. That's too scary.
Heaven forbid, you know. I would think that if everybody was educated and not educated as in, you know, going to college, but educated as in what's going on around them and more informed as to laws, rules, regulations, et cetera, I think we would have a better society if people were informed of the truth and not all the BS that they throw everywhere, you know?
The last time I flew to London, I want to tell you guys, I read the newspapers very carefully and all that. I flew over to London, and I got a place downtown London, and I picked up all the London newspapers. I was reading the same articles from one country to the other, but each article was slanted slightly different.
Wow.
Slightly different. In some cases, they were making a big deal out of something. In other cases, the same thing article was there, but they were slighting it. They were putting a shadow on it so much that it's not a big deal. The government controls. We know. What am I saying? We know the government controls the press. We know that.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh. I do have different news on the summit meeting that's taking place here in May. They did get it approved for the demonstrators to be there. Demonstrators are allowed to be there. Sorry, just I throw that in.
Now, are they still doing that in Chicago or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Or was that
May
canceled?
May 19th, 20th, and 21st.
Wow.
Hey, Fran, are you coming up to my party on the 15th?
What's going on the 15th?
Have the bike blessing going on, all that stuff going on?
Well, I guess I am now. What time?
The girls, we have a good time. I don't think they believe me, you know. What are you pointing at, Philip?
We got to call another caller from 619.
619, jump in. 619.
Is that I think that might be Henry. Are you Henry?
619, you're live.
Hey, just calling in and hear what's going on tonight, guys.
Not much. We're just talking about all kinds of things, and they're playing games with the server on us tonight.
Oh, is that what it is? That's why it was difficult to get on, huh?
Hey, everybody's had the same problem.
Everybody's had the same
problem,
Henry.
Yeah.
But, no, while I got you on the phone, we want to extend an invitation to you on the 15th. Bill's going to have the bike blessing out in front of the shop. We're going to have that big party in the street.
The 15th this month?
Sure.
That sounds good.
Okay.
12 to 4 o'clock, you can make it up that far. First day an hour, whatever you want to do. Henry, you know Fran Del Santo, don't you? I'm hearing Henry.
Yeah. Are you on the speakerphone, Henry?
Yeah, let me get it on. Okay.
All right.
Oh, wow, that was coming in clear.
Yeah. At least the one good thing with that is at least I wasn't the only one that had difficulty calling in or trying to listen to the show. But I'll tell you what, it hosed up my computer, whoever it is.
I know.
Yeah, they're coming at us from all sides, but so far we got them on the run tonight.
We're just trying to communicate.
That's what you think.
Are they chasing you guys down again?
Yeah, they're trying.
Yeah, they're trying.
A lot of pressure tonight. This is so
crazy.
Don't let them win.
Oh, no, that's why we're all here.
As long as there's a breath and there's people from all parts of America and parts of the world that call in and all that, we have dialogue. Dialogue must be give and take conversation. So if you people don't then it's not a show because it's all our show together. But when people don't call in, it's not good. It's just me and Philip. That's not anything at all. Then they get to us.
No, and right now we got Canada, Australia, Germany, the United Kingdom, New Zealand, France, the Netherlands, Russia, and India.
Wow.
People listening
and,
there.
And Rhode Island and Massachusetts.
How many people are calling from Japan?
One.
One person. God bless you over there, brother.
One person from there, one person from Finland,
Indonesia,
Germany.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
We used to have one person who used to listen to us from China.
China.
And that's highly illegal. I hope nothing happened to that person. They never would come on the line. They listened all the time. And our show is very illegal in China. So
yeah,
I hope that's okay.
We have Brazil, France, and Denmark also.
Well, those are big numbers. Those are thousands and thousands of people.
Wow. Didn't
we have Korea calling? Checking?
Yeah.
That's North Korea, we're totally banned there, too. It's illegal. Imagine that.
They can be imprisoned.
Yeah. For listening to what we are talking about, these are conversations you have with your neighbor and anybody else. We're not talking about taking over any government. We're not talking about anything. We're just Americans talking about the world. And these countries over here, they're being chastised. Don't do that word often, do you?
That's where email came in, and a lot of stuff were coming in and out of those countries via email until they put crackdown on that as well.
Right.
Well, you know, right now, let me get to this real quick. I'll enlighten you guys. But where is it?
There's a guy out here in Fallbrook, just about 30 miles from it. He was the first rock and roll band in Russia in the 1950s. He had to leave Russia for some freedom so he could play rock and roll. That's how bad it was back in those days. He was the very first band. I can't think of his name and all that, but nice article where he had to come to America just to play some rock and roll.
I'm going to back up on this. We have people from the United States that had to go to Europe because they were put on a fucking blacklist here saying that they were communist here, and in order for them to play, they went to Europe.
And that right across the border of Mexico,
too. Pete Seeger was one that did not go to Europe, but a number of people did end up going to Europe.
Wasn't that crazy?
What I was talking about was the NSA is building the country's biggest spy center. So you got to watch. You got to watch what you say because.
Oh yeah, Stacy, you missed this one.
What happened? There's a town called Bluffdale, and
the biggest spy center in the States.
They're building. Let me read the article to you. Bluffdale sits in a bowl-shaped valley in the shadow of Utah's West Ridge Range, which is to the east, and the Arrah Mountains to the west. It's the heart of Mormon country, where religious pioneers first arrived more than 160 years ago. They came to escape the rest of the world, to understand the mysterious words sent down from their God as revealed on buried golden plates, and to practice what has become their way of life. So Obama has built this fucking spy center. The NSA has become the largest, most covert, and potentially intrusive intelligence agency ever. Under construction by contractors with top secret clearances, the blandly named Utah Data Center is being built for the National Security Agency. Project of immense secrecy, it is in the final piece in a complex puzzle assembled over the past decade. Its purpose is to intercept, decipher, analyze, and store vast swaths of world communications as they zap down from satellites and zip through the underground and undersea cables of international, foreign, and domestic networks. The heavily fortified $2 billion center should be up and running in September 2013. Flowing through its servers and routers and its stored inline bottomless databases will be all forms of communication, including this
Everything will be documented.
Including this show.
Everything will be documented. Everything you're saying.
Including the complete contents of private emails, cell phones, and Google searches, as well as all sorts of personal data trails, parking receipts, travel itineraries, bookstore purchases, and other additional pocket litter. It is, in some measure, a realization of a total information awareness program created during the first term of the Bush administration in an effort that was killed by Congress in 2003 after it caused an outcry over potential for invading America's privacy. But this is more than just a data center, says one senior intelligence official who until recently was involved with the program. This guy got thrown out because he talked to the media. The Mammoth Bluffdale Center will have another important and far more secret role that until now has gone unrevealed. It is also critical, he says, for breaking codes. And the code breaking is critical because much of the data the center will handle, financial information, stock transactions, business deals, foreign military and diplomatic secrets, legal documents, confidential personal communications, will all be heavily encrypted. According to another top official also involved with the program, the NSA made an enormous breakthrough several years ago in its ability to cryptanalyze or break unfathomably complex encryption systems employed by not only companies around the world, so many average computer users in the U.S. I happen to be one of them. The upshot, according to this official, is everybody's a target. Everybody with communication is a target. Just like I told you guys, there's two batteries in your phone. If you take the one out, you think the phone's off, it's not. Underneath your SIM card or right near your SIM card is a hearing aid battery that keeps the phone active, keeps your GPS going. Whatever you have on there is on there.
What happened in America on my grandparents? Everything
it doesn't exist anymore.
Everything you fax, everything you say on the telephone, soon, everything's going to be recorded. This state that we're living in right now, this is like the end of the freedom.
Yep.
Because what we can say soon, they can come to your door tomorrow and say, "Why are you saying this? What's going on?" These programs, not that our program is special, but these programs will allow us to talk about it. We will soon be a thing of the past. They're going to come down and slam the door hard. This is whatever little time we have left in America as land of the free. It's going to be coming to an end, boys and girls.
Yep.
It's still the best country in the world. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of my country. My government irks the shit out of me at times, though.
That it does.
Yep.
Well, let me ask you something. Why do you think you want to do that to your show?
Why? Well, because Henry, you know me. I'm not afraid to say anything, and I don't hide from anybody. So,
Henry, sorry.
Go ahead.
Henry, we don't have any sponsors. If you have sponsors, you're being told what to do and how to do it. And I've been on AM radio for many years, and I've had to watch my P's and Q's. Shows like this, we have no one controlling us. We don't shut you off because you bring a subject we don't like. We ask you to allow us to debate back and forth. Programs like this, the government is afraid of. If you have AM radio, FM radio, you have sponsors. Sponsors pay you. Sponsors control you. They're coming after these free programs because you can't intimidate us. You can't buy us off. Well, I don't know. Maybe $1 million sponsorship might make me... But right now, no one's giving us anything. And shows like this, this is what they're afraid of. How can you affect us? How can you intimidate us? What can you do to bribe us? Nothing. You're going to change us a different hour. You're going to take one of our soap dish commercials off. We don't have commercials. The only people we, Philip and I, listen to is you people out there. So what you have to say is what I need to hear. That's why they're afraid of us. Us programs.
They would rather leave the people in society dumb, helpless, and naive to situations that go on around them than keep people informed. And to me, again, I can't stand that. You know, it's like I feel, and I've said this before on past shows, I feel that sometimes the government would rather leave us feeling helpless. You know, you got more and more of a medicated society, and I'm not saying that all them people, you know, I'm sure some of them actually need some of the medications, but, you know, you start medicating everybody and you start saying everybody's got depression and this, that, and the other, you're controlling things. You're slowly controlling things, and you add all this into play, and it's just, you know, they want us walking around like horses with blinders on, like, what is that Pink Floyd video where the kids are jumping into the meat grinder? That's pretty much what they want, you know?
Well, you know, it's like I always say, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
If I can get people to read a book, it's called The Fix. If you go back to the 1960s, you'll find that LSD was actually a government-made product. The lab techs actually tested it. When they found that they couldn't actually control it, they were actually considering of putting LSD in our water system. Now,
are you kidding?
Pardon?
The United States Army did experiments on that. Everybody experiments on that. They thought that if they gave it to all of America, it would be okay. Same thing, the experiment, if you remembered, subliminal messages in the movies. Remember that for a short time?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
That stuff, they thought, well, we'll just kind of subconscious or on a
subliminally
America.
Right.
Luckily, we were able to catch that.
And basically, right now, they just gave us the 2-minute warning. And I'm going to play a song by Everlast, and I want you guys to stick around and listen to this and listen to the words.
Because now it's time to say goodbye to
right.
each and all my friends.
And we want everybody to come back Tuesday, next week,
yeah,
Thursday.
Yeah, come back Tuesday and let's talk about this, because I find that interesting.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
We'll be glad to talk about that. In between commercials, all kind of stuff.
I'll try to be here.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do now, this one is called It's Everlast and What It's Like.
Good night, Fran. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, all.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night now. See you next Thursday or Tuesday if you get a chance.
Good night, guys.
All right, good night.
So you're off the air?
Yeah. Well, you're still talking, but yeah, I haven't hit the button yet.
Huh?
I haven't hit the button yet. I thought maybe you wanted to say something. If not, I'm going to hit the button and I'll talk to you. I'll give you a ring tomorrow.
Hit the button. Talk to you later.
Good night.